We all know how to put time and sweat into a business, but how can a little showmanship set us apart from the pack? Welcome to Venture Voice. I'm Greg Gallant, on with Scott Heiferman today. He is the founder and CEO of Meetup.com. If you haven't used it yet, Meetup is a strange, might sound like a strange idea. It's a website that allows you people with similar interests to find each other in a geographic area and meet in person. So it might be a political group going to a pub, some geeks who are interested in the same programming language, hanging out at the same coffee shop, or mothers organizing a get-together at one of their houses. It's led to some really unforeseen consequences. Back during the elections, the Howard Dean campaign used it very effectively to organize groups of their supporters around the country to write letters, promote the campaign. All the other campaigns followed suit quickly after, and Meetup became the hottest thing for campaigns since online donations. Now Meetup is still going strong and trying to find a way to become profitable and really become a more mature business. So let's listen to Scott and hear how he started his group. Also, this is the first Venture Voice show that I know of that has led to some offline consequences. So listen up at the end and you'll hear an update since the recording. Enjoy. Scott, welcome to Venture Voice.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we looked up your resume on the web and saw that you've been involved in, gosh, I don't know how many ventures since you got started. But the one that jumped out was working at McDonald's. Could you just tell us a little about what you were doing and what led you to want to work at McDonald's?
Well, it's kind of sad that the only thing that jumped out of my career is that I worked the counter at McDonald's a few years ago.
Well, not exclusively.
No. After running my first company, iTraffic, for a few years, and after it was acquired, and we went public with the company that acquired us, decided to take a little time off, and the thing that I really was sort of hungry to do was not to just sit around, but I felt like working, but I didn't want to hang out with any lawyers or accountants or investment bankers anymore for a little while. So I worked the counter at the McDonald's in Manhattan at 4th and Broadway.
So did you find the company there to be better than lawyers and accountants?
Well, it was different. It was different. No, I mean it was really nice to sort of get, you know, your hands dirty. Well, actually, my hands weren't dirty. It was a, you know, food service thing. But, you know, to really interact with customers and see how they respond to the dollar menu and make some fries.
So what was the most important lesson that you learned at McDonald's, if there were any that you could apply then to your entrepreneurial ventures?
Well, you know, I guess from being an employee after having run companies for a while and kind of being the boss, it was really quite interesting how hungry I was to be shown some appreciation or to be you think, well, if you pay people well and they'll be all right, or even if their work is meaningful, you know, they'll be all right. But you know, people need to be told they're doing an okay job, and even just the idea that, you know, at the time McDonald's slogan was "We love to see you smile," and the logo had a smile in it, you know, literally. But yet I was never told to smile, and it was funny how none of my fellow employees there smiled at any customers. They kind of hated all the customers, and if I was just sort of it was interesting how, you know, the company had this public face of the smile, but yet we were never really told that we should, you know, care too much about the customer, and that was a little surprising.
Did you care about the customer with your businesses before McDonald's?
Although the big transition, you know, I made in my career was that I used to be in the advertising business when I ran this company, iTraffic, which was an online ad agency. And really, what I do now, which is, you know, meetup.com and also started photolog.net, is, you know, really more about serving people directly, about building a product that people use and people pay for, and kind of not being so much in the service of helping marketers market, when that sometimes can be a good thing, but it's just good to kind of make a product for the people.
So it sounds like you want to be as close to the customer as possible.
Yeah, I think that's more fun, I think.
So how did you get the idea for Meetup?
Meetup's a really stupid simple idea that really couldn't have been done before 2002. The basic idea of Meetup is just, how do you find the others locally who share a common interest and form a little community group, form a club, form a form a mom's group or a gardening club or a breast cancer group or something like that. And so the reason why it couldn't have been done before was that there just simply weren't enough people online. If you wanted to meet all the poodle owners online, you could do that in an online community. But to get all the poodle owners in town together physically, you need a heck of a lot of critical mass of the internet. And so it was one of those, it's one of those things that, obviously just kind of needed to be there, like in its own way, eBay needs to be there, or Craigslist needs to be there, and someone needs to, help people find the others locally to form that local community group. And I was kind of prompted by some of the experience of living in New York around 9/11, and how local community was sort of a big deal at that moment, that's how Meetup got started.
So after 9/11, was there any kind of need that you had for community in particular that you had trouble filling?
Not exactly personally. I mean, I think that, I remember back to when I first came to New York in 94 from Iowa. There, I was working at Sony at the time, and I really wanted to meet people who had any interest in the internet. And this was back, when there weren't all that many people, and I couldn't find anyone in my office who cared all that much. And I remember there was something in New York that a guy named Kyle Shannon had started, which was called the World Wide Web Artist Consortium, and it was just this amazing thing that you show up and there were 20 people who cared about this thing called the internet and how valuable and important that was to me at the time to be able to find the others locally who shared that interest, and how important it is for there to be that local resource everywhere, where there should be a local group everywhere about everything. So Meetup wasn't solid. I don't have the old eBay Pez dispenser story, for Meetup. But I just it was clear that people always want to connect, and that it was something that had to be done.
So, what are some of the challenges getting people to do something online that would lead to an offline event?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Meetup is all about getting people off the internet, using the internet to do so. And that really was the specific challenge we had. I mean, it was it wasn't just about adding a local dimension to the old Yahoo group model. What we really focused on was it being all about the meetup, and the meetup is a face-to-face, real-world thing. And so, what's funny often is that you could tell people, what meetup is, and you could even say, it's real-world, it's in person, it's face-to-face, and yet they still don't. They'll say, oh, is that like a listserv or something? And they don't. It's hard to make that leap. Well, the most important thing that we did, I think, was sort of establish this notion of a international meetup day for all of these topics that people wanted to meet up about. So, it wasn't just that there was a local Buffy the Vampire Slayer meetup that someone created in, Melbourne, Australia, but rather once that was created, it was established as the first Monday of every month at 7 p.m. everywhere is International Buffy Meetup Day. And that really made it, a lot more sort of woke people up to realizing that it was local and that it was in person, and it was an important part of it.
What was the very first meetup to occur?
I'm not sure. I know that like the first, you know, the first big ones were the Flashdot meetups and the Blogger meetups initially, because you know they had their own sort of engine to get the word out. But there were just you know, lots of, you know, we just kind of put it out there and never really advertised, you know, at all, besides the, you know, messing around with some keyword advertising last year. But there were also, you know, I think where the need, where people also wanted, had no other means to connect, but yet there was a latent desire there. So, you know, just these, you know, obscure communities, from the, you know, ex-Jehovah's Witnesses to the, all the sort of like pagan kind of stuff to, and actually I think it was interesting that it was like the Flashdotters and the Bloggers who first started using Meetup, because what's ironic about it is that these are the people that supposedly never want to leave the screen. They never want to, you know, that they're most in love with the computer, and why would they ever want to leave it? But they were, seem to be the hungriest to want to connect in the real world.
Would you say this made the, so I guess it start, if you could say maybe it started with the geeks, would you say that it has shifted already to just mainstream? And if it has, then when would you say that occurred?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, certainly what's funny is that, you know, you build a platform and you don't know what people will use it for, and a lot of the things that people are, you know, have been using Meetup for are things we never imagined, and the things we thought they would meet up about, they're not meeting up about. But so I think, you know, it was politics that was certainly not, you know, necessarily the computer geek stuff, where, you know, we really got a lot of notoriety early on with, you know, initially the Howard Dean campaign, and now with, you know, all types of political meetups. But today the biggest meetups are the mom meetups, and that's, I guess, the farthest, you know, certainly far from being the geek stuff. You know, it's and what's I think just a interesting is that, you know, every time that you you think you can sort of direct it or design for who should use the thing, or, you know, or that direct that they should use it in a certain way, you know, the fact is people are going to use it the way they want to use it, and so, you know, we just try to pay attention to them and that, and you know, yeah, the moms and the dogs and the languages are all big, you know, areas for Meetup right now, all the kinds of stuff that, you know, we weren't so much thinking about.
So looking back at the election, what would you say that Meetup had some kind of overall significance in the election, or in the turn of how things went, and what candidates got what publicity?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what people say. I mean, I don't think anyone here in our office is quite the, you know, big time, you know, serious political pundits to be able to answer a question like that. But there's no doubt that, you know, there's a heck of a lot of people who even to this day are, you know, involved and engaged in going to a monthly meetup about politics. And there was some university study done about how, you know, half of them had never been to a political, I'm sorry, yeah, half had never been to any kind of political meeting before. But overall, I mean, it's certainly, you know, meetups have been an engine for notoriety for candidates. I mean, and I think for the right reasons. I mean, you know, when people actually get off their butt and go to a local meetup, go to a local gathering about some political candidate or issue, that is newsworthy, and that is what that, you know, that's a good newsworthy. It shows, you know, that these people who care, and so if that impacts the process, I say that's better than, you know, sound bites and TV commercials impacting the process.
A lot of these campaigns really went out of their way to promote the meetups and put it on the politicians' websites and everything. If you can give an award to one campaign for using Meetup very effectively, who would it be?
Well, let's see. Well, there's no, you know, I mean, you know, clearly we're, you know, the most famous use of it is for the Howard Dean campaign. I mean, which was just used it so amazingly. You know, they would do things like have, you know, there'd be 1,000 meetups going on one night in 1,000 locations across America, and they'd have all the people at the meetups hand write letters to undecided voters and drop those letters in mailboxes, and they would, and so there would be something like 250,000 letters dropped in U.S. mailboxes on one night, which is such interesting, you know, irony that, you know, here's the medium, the internet, that was supposed to have killed the handwritten letter, and yet it's, you know, in a roundabout way creating all these handwritten letters. So yeah, they certainly get that award, but I mean there's lots of other much less publicized examples of you know, different kinds of political use of meetups.
So what meetups do you go to?
Well, you know, I actually started a few months ago a New York tech meetup, kind of like that story I told you a few minutes ago, where when I landed in New York, I didn't have any other way to find the other people interested in geek stuff, and then found that group. Well, there really isn't much of anything like that available as far as I am so aware in New York. So I just decided to start a New York tech meetup, where it's sort of like the old Silicon Valley homebrew computer club, you know, where it's like a show and tell, and people just kind of show off their things they're working on, and it's been really good. Some months we have, like, you know, 50. Well, actually, we had like a couple hundred people show up one time, and just get good demos. It's all about the show and tell. So I enjoy that. I go to that meetup, and I it's really neat to see, you know, even just kind of younger people who are, you know, newly in town, who want to sort of connect into the tech community in New York. I mean, it is all about community. You know, is there such a thing as a tech community in this town or in anyone's town? And, you know, all it takes is really someone to say, okay, there is, and, you know, it starts to grow and people show up and, you know, let it happen as it happens.
One of the things that we have looked at a lot in our show is seeing kind of what it's like to be an entrepreneur, and in some cases a tech entrepreneur, in different regions. We talked to Dick Costolo, who's in Chicago, which he was saying had a very different feel to it than out west. Are you able to generate any kind of data on what the strengths are in different cities, and do you look at that at all?
Strengths for tech entrepreneurship, or just in
yeah,
general?
For that, and also, you know, what other kind of landscape you can get based on those kind of demographics.
Oh, yeah, you know, we see tons of just fascinating data about where, you know, what people are interested where, and, you know, how the meetups evolve in different places about different things. You know, I don't have anything for you exactly about the entrepreneur meetups, you know, how they vary in different, you know, cities or countries or something. But what I do believe on that note is I think there's a lot of people interested in things in every place. You know, in other words, you know, you might say, oh well, you have to be in such and such a city if you're interested in this or that or that. You know, if you want to speak Spanish or Russian or Portuguese or Chinese or Japanese or some language, you know, you got to be in this city because that's where the most people are who speak that language. But, you know, what the internet can do, and you know, Meetup as one example, is really pull out how, you know, there are people interested in different things everywhere. And so it just takes something like this kind of technology to bring them together. And so I guess the moral of the story, to answer your question, is I bet that there's a lot more opportunity for there to be entrepreneur centers in more towns and cities. It just takes a little bit of technology, and more importantly, the gumption of someone to kind of pull it together, and then you've got this community where you can help each other out.
So what were some of the resources that were most important to you when you started Meetup? I mean, was it finding, you know, the right people to work with you in the community, or just refining the idea, or cold calling? Kind of what did you pull together that you think really made Meetup successful?
Well, you know, there's no doubt that it's a cliche, but it's true. It's all about the team. I mean, it is all about the team. I was lucky enough to have a couple of co-founders, and then a core team of five or six of us that are still around here. You know, so my partners Peter and Matt and Brendan and Miles and Greg, you know, it's finding the right mix of talent, and that means not necessarily people who think the same as you do, or, you know, you have this tendency to want to hire people who would agree with you on things or have the same kind of skills you do, because, you know, we all appreciate the skills that we have, but it's about that mix of talents and everything. And those five or six people I just mentioned, each one of them is really unique in what they're so good at, and that is what makes anything. That's what makes anything succeed.
What were some of the pieces that you felt were essential to fail? Did you need just kind of great technical abilities, or good interface design, or good PR? What were top on your mind?
It's a bit of all of the above. I mean, you're only as strong as your weakest link, for sure. You know, I think what was critical for us was that we tried to keep it simple, and at the same time focused on what was going to give it some energy and some sort of like showmanship to it. In other words, I think far too many things get sort of launched without a sense of, okay, what's going to really inspire and spark and engage people to care? Because it's one thing to make a great product, and it's another thing to make something that will get momentum. And we really thought about that a lot, and that was and that makes a big difference.
How quickly did it gain momentum? Was it a week after it launched that people really started using it, and you saw things happen, or was it a couple months?
It was months before any kind of broad array of topics had taken off. But there are those critical moments that you can't ask for or pay for or do any, you hope to get slashed at it, or you hope the blogosphere picks up on something. But like I say, I mean, it's a lot of the choices we made of designing Meetup, for example, around this like Meetup Day idea, that was sort of by definition kind of made it sort of newsworthy and worthy of being talked about. The marketing writer Seth Godin, says something that's so so simple but yet so important, which is he uses the word remarkable, and it's sort of like a word that that anyone might say, but it doesn't mean that much. But what does remarkable mean? It means something that one will remark upon. I mean, that is it worthy of being talked about? Will it, what will people talk about, and why will they bother to talk about it? And so to make something remarkable is different than just making something that's good. And that's, I think, an important idea for anyone trying to do something that wants to gauge a lot of people.
So in terms of visibility, what do you think is a more influential outlet now for a company like yours? Is it really getting good play in the blogosphere, or is it getting written up in the Times?
Both of those for sure, and there's no doubt that the blogosphere has its power. Although I think that the good old fashioned power of word of mouth is where it's at. I mean, and yes, what are blogs? Nothing more than word of mouth with megaphones. But I think that we for all of the, I mean, I'm a huge fan of things like Delicious and Flickr. And the other sort of poster kids of the blogosphere, and I have immense respect, and I love their products, but it's important to note that those things, which are so like household names in the blogosphere, are brands that virtually no one outside the blogosphere has ever heard of, and that the blogosphere is small, and that yes, there's a lot of people looking at blog. There are more people looking at blogs than writing blogs, but still, I just think that it's important that people pay as much attention to how something is going to be spread amongst regular people as it is amongst the blogosphere. And frankly, to really answer your question, I would say there's one holy grail for anyone who cares about getting anything. If this might be a little bit controversial, but I would say no disrespect to the blogosphere, but if Oprah is really where anyone should want to be, and that's, we've never gotten there, but if you really want mass America to know something, don't forget about, don't think it's anything but Oprah that can do that in 2005.
So I guess Oprah has a book club. If she had a website club, you'd want to be in it.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So it's an interesting thing with the industry that you're in. It's starting to emerge, I guess, this industry of social networking. Do you consider yourself to be part of that?
No. I mean, I people kind of lump us in that category. I don't know what that means. When I think of social networking, I think of the, who's friends with whom. Which is great. I mean, I love LinkedIn. LinkedIn is an incredible product. And it does something that couldn't have been done before, and I think we've only begun to see how valuable that stuff like that can be. And that's social networking. It's the social network. But Meetup is doesn't do that. Meetup's just about how do you organize a local community group about something, and it really doesn't have anything to do with who knows who, and who's a third degree friend of whom.
Are you encouraged by the amount of money going into social networking now, especially with the MySpace acquisition?
It's funny. I heard about that News Corp deal, but it didn't even dawn on me that it has anything to do with us or, I don't know. I mean, we're just trying to build a business that helps people and gets lots and lots and lots of more people using it. And, we spend money conservatively and are trying to get in the black and not really paying attention to that stuff.
So what are your strategies now to really ramp up the revenue?
It's all about how do we make the product better so that more people talk about it, so it's more remarkable, and how do we do the things that will get people talking about meetups. And most importantly, really our bread and butter and our whole focus is how do we serve our customers. Now we changed our business model a few months ago where we get paid by all of the groups that are using Meetup. And so their success is our success. If they succeed, they'll grow, we'll grow, the whole thing will grow, and if they fail, we'll fail. So we our strategy is keep our customers happy and so that there's more of them, and make sure that our groups succeed. And the one big way they succeed is by finding the others who share that common interest locally.
So how do these groups that you charge raise the money? Do they charge membership fees or a dollar when people come in?
Yeah, so some of the groups ask their members to chip in a buck or two a month or something, or $10 a year or something like that. And then at other times the organizer just pays the $10 or $20 a month fee, because it's like a quarter of their monthly cable bill, and it's not that big a deal, So it varies. And some meetups are actually profit making endeavors by the organizer, that they say, there should be a local meetup for people who are new in town somewhere, and they'll ask if people pay $5 or $10 to be a part of it, and maybe make some money. But we let what happened happen.
Well, what should we expect from Meetup over the next couple of years?
Our goals are all about just more of the same. We want to see that there be a local meetup about whatever people care about everywhere. And that whether that's in the moms meetups or the dog meetups or the language meetups or the cancer meetups. We're just going to follow where people go and make sure that when people want to find the others locally about something, that Meetup is that hub, and we're going to hopefully get in the black and be able to provide a better service for our customers.
Including the entrepreneurs out there?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot for doing the show, Scott.
Okay, well, I will subscribe.
Great, thanks a lot.
Okay.
I appreciate that, and by the way, I'm going to the Podcasters Meetup tomorrow, so
oh, really?
I'll have my own.
In where are you?
I'm on Long Island, so I'll be
headed
straight into New York.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, maybe I'll pop in.
Scott did pop into the meeting of the New York City Podcasters Association that was made possible and organized by Meetup, and we were pretty disorganized about getting the introductions going, so most of the people there didn't know who Scott was, and didn't hold back from sharing a couple gripes about Meetup.com. Nevertheless, though, it was a great meeting to see all those people, and it's a good lesson to entrepreneurs, especially in obscure industries, to check Meetup, so you might be able to do some great networking through it. So with that, be sure to check out the website, venturevoice.com. You can get all the show notes, all the links that were mentioned in the show, and also leave us feedback at talk@venturevoice.com. Let us know who you want to hear from, what industries you're interested in, and what topics you need to know about. Till next time, I'm Greg Gallant.